I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Sorry, back here together, Brian Mazeroski and Joe Beamer on WBEN. How's your day off yesterday, Joe?
You know, spent a day off with my son. We had the day and the place to ourselves. He got this little car for Easter that, you know, you pull him around in, and he just loves that thing. So we went running around the neighborhood a few times with that. It was fun. Went to the zoo the day before. He took a spin around the neighborhood, yeah. Went to the zoo the day before because now they are open 7 days a week, and had a lot of fun Tuesday after work as well.
You know, zoo's like, it's like the go-to place.
Oh, yeah.
Toddler. Like, toddler, zoo, see something different every time.
I didn't realize that in the rain, but now you think of it, it's like, well, how can they keep them contained? In the rainforest exhibit, the lizards get to just roam wild. And I didn't get that until Tuesday when we're walking by and a lizard almost fell. I'm sure he was nowhere close to falling, but was very close to my son's head because it was crawling under one of the rocks. And I think that's really cool. But now, like, I'm going to have to watch my step because I didn't realize that they're just roaming free in the rainforest exhibit.
It's the whole idea.
Yes.
I don't like going in there. I'm afraid a bird's going to poop on me.
Yeah, that has always that's always gone over my
head. Is that the lamest thing you ever heard?
No, that I understand. But now looking out for the lizards, that's my son's favorite, right? He loves the waterfall at his age. I mean, we could just stand behind the waterfall near that big snake in the tank and just that would be worth the trip for him.
We have new chaos concerns, this time in San Francisco, Joe. So we have the chaos concern here. Now in San Francisco, concerns are growing over lack of preparation for 420. That's right. That's the Golden Gate Park's Hippie Hill has hosted tens of thousands of revelers on 420, April 20th, over the year, for the International Weed Holiday, and now business owners, residents raising the alarm. The city's not doing enough to prepare for the amount of people there and the lack of toilets that could cause, quote, chaos. So there you go. Chaos in San Francisco. It's my new favorite question to ask, Joe. Is it going to be bigger or smaller than the million people for the eclipse?
Oh, it'll be bigger because 420 will happen regardless of the weather.
That's right. It's even in the rain?
Even in the rain. I mean, I've seen it. Come on. Is 420 still the big holiday now that weed is legal? Like, is it still
apparently?
Is it still that rebel thing?
You know? Oh, well, definitely not.
You know, like, people still, hey, man, you know, marijuana leaf. Like, hey, man, like, it's legal now. I mean,
I like you're going to have to do all of 420 show in your hippie
voice. Yeah. Hey, I posted a marijuana leaf, man.
Jump out a window right now. No, I think once Ritz Crackers starts talking about 420, like, you've lost your, right?
Yeah.
Is that the deal? Like, you can't really claim yourself to be the rebel thing anymore.
No.
Is Luke Combs bigger or smaller than the eclipse?
I mean, for me, it's a bigger deal. I can't wait. I've got my tickets ready to go.
Wow, so that burned off quickly. You were so impressed by the eclipse on Tuesday, and now you're like, well, this guy's playing a show. It's a bigger deal.
It was a cool 45 seconds of the eclipse. But you know what? To be fair, I have been excited about the Luke Combs concert longer than I was the eclipse. I mean, I was kind of playing down the eclipse leading up to it.
Yeah.
Yes, it was a cool experience. Don't get me wrong. I've seen Luke Combs before as part of a you know, whole day show. I'm excited to see this show next Saturday, and excited. That tailgate sounds pretty cool before as well. So, yeah, I'm excited. I think that's one thing. I think Liz said it perfectly. Regardless of the weather, the turnout they're expecting is the turnout they're going to get.
Yeah. I think the Saturday show at the stadium. So this guy's doing two back-to-back shows at Highmark Stadium, Friday and Saturday. I think the Saturday one is like sold out or close to it.
Yeah, I think Saturday
and Friday
is
pretty well too.
Yeah.
So let's say 100,000.
Yep.
You know, 110,000 maybe in total 2 days for that.
Yeah, that's right.
Because bigger than the eclipse.
For sure, for sure. And you know, my buddy I'm going with is going Friday as well. So now I'm going to be asking him, you know, every song. Did he sing that yesterday? Was it the same set list? But I think it's a big deal since he's announced it. People have been excited about it. People jumped on tickets. Like you said, Brian, I think Saturday completely sold out. Friday, a few tickets left. And, you know, regardless of the weather, next weekend, the people you expect to be in Orchard Park will be in Orchard Park. They're not going to go to Ashtabula last second.
Yeah. As it stands right now, Aerosmith's final show ever will be at KeyBank Center in Buffalo. Bigger or smaller than the Eclipse?
If it stays that way, bigger than the Eclipse.
You think?
If it stays that way. Again, that could change because I remember when they announced, they said that they would keep adding dates. But Aerosmith, again, I'm not the biggest fan, but huge rock band from, you know, the 70s. They had hits. They charted in the 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s. Very few bands were able to do that those four straight decades. They were able to do it. If they end that career in Buffalo, that's a pretty big deal.
I have no interest in going to see them. If that's their last show ever, I will want to go.
That's how I feel.
Just for, you know, the novelty of it.
Yeah. And then and then 2 years later when they announce in their show, I will feel ripped. That was ripped off.
I mean, like, how many people are going to want to go to see? I mean, it would be their last show. Probably a lot of people.
You would have a lot of people coming to town. You have Aerosmith diehards that will pay whatever for that ticket.
Although the Kiss one was a little subdued.
In Buffalo?
No, in Madison Square Garden, yeah. Their final show. They played back-to-back nights at MSG. It was a big crowd, but you could have gone for a reasonable amount of money.
That's true. It was also Kiss's like fourth farewell show.
Yeah, have they burned that bridge before?
I think so.
It's like if the Eclipse came by 2 years ago in totality here and they said, you won't see it again for 200 years. And then it happened
the
like
moon
2 years later.
Go,
yeah. You know, like, that would be like the Kiss version of that. Aerosmith hasn't done that yet. But you
still did have people travel, which I know to New York, people do it every day. But you did have people travel to New York just for that Kiss concert.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Maybe people will come here.
Oh, I think so.
Gridlock.
I don't know about...
The giant rubber duck, was that bigger or smaller than the Eclipse?
Looking back at it now, it was bigger than the Eclipse. It also hung around a little longer.
I thought
that was the
dumbest
thing.
I don't want to say it's bigger than the Eclipse, but you were in your car for 50 times as long as you were during the huge traffic jam the Eclipse caused.
That's right.
I mean,
the rubber duck. I remember the rubber duck and Kanye West were downtown the same Saturday.
Oh, I forgot. It's Kanye West on the duck like that. You have to combine the two.
No, but when they were talking about traffic, they were talking about people going to see the duck and people going to see Kanye West. I thought it was the most ridiculous thing.
Oh my goodness. Well, yeah, all those things have the potential to be bigger than our biggest tourist event ever.
Yeah, which, hey, we should be patting ourselves on the back. Buffalo, the most increase in tourism.
Along the path of totality.
Along the path of totality.
Early April, not typically a big come to Buffalo time. Now, the county executive, it's been talked about here on WBEN and other places, not so much yesterday morning, because he talked about it again yesterday. Him going to Ohio for the Eclipse, which I don't know about you, Joe. I saw the tweet and I didn't really think much of it. It was like the golf photo 2.0, and it's, you know, just whatever. I think the backlash to it comes from our deep sense as Western New Yorkers that we were talking about this last week, where, you know, we can talk bad about our city, but don't you say anything bad about Buffalo. And it's like that same type of sense where it's like, look, if I have to look at the cloudy Eclipse,
yeah,
you're going to have to look at it too.
That's right.
Like, and if you're not with me here, then you're not with me anywhere.
It is that pride in Western New York. And I said this on Tuesday, Brian. You know, I'm not one to say a lot of favorable things about the governor. But the fact that Kathy Hochul came to Western New York, to Niagara Falls, to see the Eclipse. You know what I mean? Byron Brown was at Buff State.
We're all in this together.
This time to see the Eclipse. You know, everyone was here in their region to see the Eclipse. And as much as the county executive talked about it, I think people were just like, hey, you are the county executive. And hey, some of us did actually get to see it during totality. It would have been nice to say, hey, I'm here with you, instead of drive off to Ashtabula. And he did tell people, if you don't have plans now, to stay home.
So that's what I wanted to go back. So what did he actually say? So I came in this morning and I dug it up, and he said back at the end of February exactly what I thought he would say. Joe, he said exactly what I thought any politician would say. Here it is.
The roads will be open. We want people to traverse on them. What we're afraid of is there's going to be so many vehicles on the roads, they're just going to come to a standstill, which is okay unless you have to get someone to the hospital. You think about it, there are a little less than a million people that live in Erie County every day. We're going to double that, probably, is what we're hearing. If only for 4 or 5 hours, but if we doubled every person in Erie County, doubled every vehicle, it is a serious situation as it pertains to trying to respond to an emergency. So the less people that are on the roads, the better. The less people that are on the roads, the better. There's not going to be driving bans. No, we want that the roads are going to be open. But what we want people to understand is that your best place to watch the eclipse is probably at your home. And as long as you have a clear view of the sun, it doesn't matter where you are. You're not going to have a different view of the eclipse if you go to a park or if you go somewhere else that's all the way across the county. If you have a little neighborhood park and you can see the sun, that view is going to be as good as anywhere else. So if you can stay home, stay home.
So literally in the same breath, we're not closing the roads. We want people on the roads. If you can stay home, stay home. You shouldn't go anywhere. But we want people on the roads. We're not closing. So I guess what all this comes to say is he said exactly what I would expect anybody to say, which is everything.
Right.
So that when you look back, no matter what happened, he was not wrong.
Right.
So, you know, like that's a, you can't go back and say, well, you said this or that, or because you said everything. It's political speak.
Yeah.
Where
I like how he's, you know, blaming political, but he's also playing politics.
It's political speak where no matter what ends up happening at the end of the day, it's set up for you're not wrong either way.
I know I'm not being hit. What's the other word I'm looking for here? This is speculation, right? Obviously, we don't know. But looking at the county executive's Twitter, Brian, this is where I have the problem. He is very, anyone that has an R next to their name, he's very critical of, right? Just like anyone with an R is critical of anyone with a D next to their name. We get it. If the shoe was on the other foot and Chris Collins was the county executive and had said the things that Mark... this is what upsets me about politics. We know that Mark Poloncarz and Jeremy Zellner would be saying, how dare Chris Collins leave the county after saying all of this stuff? That's, I think, what upsets me about politics in general. And that's what upsets me about this situation. Because if it was someone on the other side, someone who didn't politically agree with him, he'd be saying what people are saying about him. And how do I know this? I don't. But looking at his Twitter, I think most people would come to that conclusion.
It's just the same attitude I have. You know, I think everybody was maybe thinking the same. Well, maybe not. You know, everyone looks at it differently. But this is my thought going. When I saw that tweet, it's the same as when I see somebody with, you know, a brand new Josh Allen jersey talking about hyping up the Bills or at a tailgate or something like that. Where you look at him a little bit and go, you know, where were you in 2013? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, if yeah. you didn't sit here in the freezing cold when there was nobody here.
That's right.
You're not really with us.
Yeah.
Right now. When it's and it's, you know, the same thing with the eclipse. Like, if you didn't sit through this cloudy eclipse and try your best to stare at the sun and see, oh, I got it. I got for 20 seconds.
Are you a true Western New Yorker?
Can you really be with us at the end? Like, that is, I think it's that same attitude that you know, we have for just about everything.
Right.
If you're not with me tonight at Fan Appreciation Night in the Sabres game, can you really be with me when they make the playoffs 13 years from now?
You know, I'd have a little more respect for the county executive if he said, you know what? We went to Ashtabula to go to Hardee's, and then while we were there, the eclipse hit. Then I'd go, okay.
Who knew what was going to happen then?
Yeah, then, you know what? Hardee's, that's a good reason to go to Ashtabula. I would agree.
It's putting Ashtabula on the map.
Sure is. There's a Waffle House and a Hardee's. You could spend a whole day there.
<I've> never. Oh, my goodness. Well, Joe, you know, speaking of Sabres tonight, last
yes.
home game.
You excited?
Yeah.
For the game or the fact that it's the last home game?
A little bit of both.
You get a t-shirt?
It'll be, yeah, who needs playoffs when you got a t-shirt?
Exactly.
I put out on yesterday a poll, I think it's over now, on Twitter. What is worse, 13 years or 13 seconds? And I, you know, at the end of the poll, over 5,000 people, very slim margin,
yes,
said 13 seconds is worse.
I agree.
How in the world do you agree with that?
Can I? All right, here's my explanation. Because I voted for 13 seconds as the check mark on my Twitter, so now I have to back up why I voted for 13 seconds. I believe that Buffalo Bills team, the 13 seconds team, had the potential of going on. Now, again, they had two games after that, right? They had to go to the conference championship and then the Super Bowl. I think that was a very possibly a team that would appear in the Super Bowl. I don't think any team the Sabres have put on the ice over the last 13 years would have done any better than the first round. Maybe the second round. Maybe they sneak into... Again, people said that in 99, they went to the Stanley Cup, so maybe I'm crazy. I think that that 13 seconds team was a Super Bowl contending team. The last 13 years have not been a Stanley Cup competing 13 years.
Well,
that's how I draw from it.
I don't care at all about that. Okay. 13 years no playoffs leads you to what you've had in the building for the last 3 months. Really, for the last whole year. Opening night wasn't a sellout. We were talking last week at the game on Friday. You know, if they squeaked in, because it was still a possibility, if they squeak into the playoffs, I don't know if they'd sell it out. There's that much apathy. You go to a bar during a Sabres game, you at very minimum have to ask for it to be on, because it's not on.
That is depressing.
Like, that is why 13 years is just 13 seconds. It stings, but at the end of the day, it's blank happens in a game. In any game. We're talking about board games yesterday. Blank happens. You know, it stings and it stinks, but it's just wild stuff happens during the course of a game. 13 years is not blank happens. 13 years is...
Okay, when you break it down that way, because you are losing a fan base.
Yeah.
The Bills didn't in 17 years. I mean, it does show the difference of the two sports in the town.
Well, and if they start winning, you know, look good from the get-go and start winning, I think the fans will be back, hopefully. But, Joe, 13 years is worse because now I'm reading about the NHL potentially within a week moving out of the number 11 media market in the U.S.
Which, by the way, a day after they posted a video of a new arena they were going to build in Phoenix.
Well, but do you kind of like get...
I get what you're saying.
I hope everyone kind of understands that. Like, the NHL is, and they fought tooth and nail. They've kept that team in Phoenix, or the Phoenix area in Arizona, for forever. They're about to pull the plug on Phoenix. Now, it's not just, you know, a no one's going to the game issue or anything like that. There's a whole lot of different things.
They don't have a stable arena.
Yeah, don't have a stable ownership, don't have a stable arena, don't have anything like that. But if they're about to pull out of a place as big as Phoenix, what about Buffalo when the building isn't full and you can't get a game on TV? So I just say that to everybody who's, sell the team. You know who they're going to sell the team to? Someone who's going to move it to Atlanta. I mean, like that.
Would they really go to Atlanta for a third time?
Oh, yeah. I just, every time I hear somebody say that, like, sell the team, it's got to happen, I just say, be careful what you wish for.
Before we go to break, I just want to say that, because I read it this way. At the time, as a fan, I think 13 seconds was more difficult to digest than year after year.
Because it all happens at once.
Yeah. When you break it down the way you do, and you're right. I mean, there are times where I will be at a bar going, oh, Sabres about to play. I wonder what TV they're going to put it on. And then you're 5 minutes into the game and you realize,
none.
They're not. I actually have to walk up to the bar and ask for the Sabres game in Buffalo to be put on the screen. You're right. The 13 years, and I think the 13 years have been more detrimental to the Sabres than 17 years were to the Bills.
Yeah, because it's not the NFL.
The Bills never didn't sell out the home opener.
Well, I can't wait for tonight, Joe.
I can tell.
It's gonna be.
Now, you get to paint the ice after the game, or is that a different day?
That's a different day.
Oh, okay.
That's scheduled well in advance. They we knew this weekend we're not going to be needing it anymore. We'll be back here. B-Mez and Beamer on WBEN.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here, Brian Mazurowski, Joe Beamer on WBEN. All right, Joe, you got another scare over the last couple days. You just need to stop watching videos of planes.
I do. So, another MAX 8. Now, I had a sensor issue and landed last night in Boise, Idaho. And they had to get the crew off of that plane. And the airline, Brian, had to fly another plane in to fly these people home. I don't get it. I don't know why. I mean, obviously, it's money. But these MAX 8s are nothing but, these MAX 8s and 9s seem to be nothing but problems. And by the way, guess what? Guess where the sensor issue was? In the door plug that became so famous a few months ago that flew out of the plane over Portland, Oregon. So I'm people think I'm crazy, but when I book a plane, I'm making sure it's not one of these MAX 8s or MAX 9s. I will, and I'm cheap, but I will pay more to be on an Airbus or just a standard 737 than be on any of these MAX planes that seem to just continuously have these issues that show up. And I get it. I'm sure a year ago when these things were happening, it didn't get the focus, right? Ever since that door plug fell out, any plane that has any issue is all over the New York Post. I understand that. And I, you know, but to calm myself down, I've been watching pilots that put a GoPro on and say, look how easy, you know, how calm it is in the cockpit during these issues and, you know, rain and stuff. And that's kind of calmed me down.
It's good to hear.
Yeah.
What's next for those planes, though? I mean, it's been pretty rough. They're going to have, like, the Kia thing. Someone's going to smash a window and be able to hotwire it and take off in a Boeing.
Someone's just flying a Boeing.
It's like the next big bad thing.
But I mean, it just seemingly continuously, even if it's not, you know, obviously they catch these issues, and thankfully we haven't had the issues that the MAX 9s had a few years ago with computer issues. But you would think it's costing these airlines money to fly another plane to, no offense to Boise, Idaho, but there's probably not a lot of planes there to begin with. Now you're flying another plane just to pick up these passengers because you have to fix the other plane. Eventually, you would think that and delays are going to cost the airlines more than it would just to say, hey, let's scrap these planes for parts.
Well, I can count on you to keep me up to date on what flights I should and shouldn't take.
And by the way, I don't even go looking for these things. The Boise thing I found this morning. I was on Twitter looking for something. I had a copy and paste on our chapters, and it came up. It's like these articles are finding me. All right, thanks, Elon. Now my algorithm has anything that happens to a MAX 8 or 9 popping up on my Twitter page.
I know, you're talking about it too much. Earlier this morning, we spoke a little bit about the Hostel Buffalo Niagara down on Main Street. We talked with somebody on their board. We heard a little bit from the Buffalo Urban Renewal Agency. Yesterday, the city shut down the hostel on Main Street following an inspection that resulted in what they called, city inspector said, unsafe electrical service to the hostel, as well as structural hazards at the rear building. That it's not quite the hostel, but it's defined as an attached rear building. So it was condemned by the fire department and closed up shop. Now, we had the senior, one of the people on the board of the hostel earlier this morning. You can listen to that interview over at WBEN. But this is kind of like the latest in a long-running push and pull with the city, where nobody really kind of says what's going on, but it's pretty much become clear that the city feels that this building that the hostel is in right now needs some serious repair and renovation, and likely could be used for something else. It's in what has become a prime spot on Main Street. Right, like that block is the block on Main Street to be at.
It's in the theater district.
You've got two concert venues, you've got Shays, you've got all the other theaters, you've got a movie theater,
yep.
You've got restaurants that are opening up more and more in that area, you know, right where they return cars to Main Street. And when it was put there, it was dead.
Yep.
I mean, you still had a couple of those things, but it was nothing else. If there was nothing going on, there was never anybody there. Now, I mean, you can go to Main Street when there's not, I mean, we've done it.
Yep.
You know, when there's not anything going on per se right in that area, and it's happening with a good amount of people.
Right. It's not just during the business hours.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not just people going to some of those events.
Right.
So it's kind of led to the question of, does the hostel have a place in the heart of downtown Buffalo on Main Street anymore? Should it exist? Should it exist where it is, untouched? Or should it be maybe moved to another location in Buffalo? And that's where we'll start, 803-0930. I'm interested if anyone has used a hostel, not necessarily this one in Buffalo, but used a hostel anywhere in the past while traveling. Have you gone through that? It's kind of like a European idea. Like, yes. That's what I always kind of picture in my head. Less so used around here in the U.S., but more like, oh, traveling to Europe, oh, we'll stay in this hostel one night, and, you know, then we're going over here, and we have a hotel for these few days. Like, it's part of the equation if you ever go over there. But over here, like, has anyone ever stayed in a hostel? And what do you think? Do we need one in Buffalo? Does it have a place here? 803-0930.
I don't know if we need one or if it has a place. That's just, I don't have any experience with hostels. Not that I'm one, I mean, I will sleep in my car in a Walmart parking lot to save money. So I'm not, you know, I'm sure it's a lot more comfortable than that. Do they have a place in Buffalo? Maybe, maybe not. In that area, with the issues that building has, you would think, Brian, you know, someone would want to jump on something in that profitable area, make the repairs and put a profitable business there. So, you know, maybe it is time to find another place. I mean, it looks like they want to be in a place that isn't jumping with business. So maybe you move to a less busy part of the city.
Well, that's kind of what the city is. Again, nobody has said this.
Yeah.
But what all indications are is that that's what they're hoping for, a city-owned building that they can sell off to somebody who might make, I don't know, any sort of attraction there. You heard about 8 people staying at the hostel before they have to find a new place to hang out in Buffalo for the time being. But do you have any experience? Let us know. And where is the place in the city of Buffalo? And honestly, I kind of think that you need to start looking at this as if it were the 90s again. Where do you need help in Buffalo on Main Street right now? And it's not really in that place.
Right.
But you walk down Main Street and there's so many places that now, do you have a place that's going to easily take in the hostel that is municipally owned, that, you know, the place can afford, that you're going to be able to afford the building? I don't know. Like, maybe that is the big barrier in all of this. But it seems to me that, like, the best option for everybody would be to, okay, like, I know you have been here for nearly, has it been 30 years already, or nearly 30 years, right around there?
But the area's changed.
The area's changed. Could you move down Main Street a little bit? You know, there's a new part of Main Street that could use some people hanging around and, you know, just checking out the area, that we don't have things that maybe some people would want to build by. The hostel goes there and, hey, maybe a restaurant has more business or more of a reason to open
right
next door, and you start building. And then within however many years, we'll have the cars back on this block of Main Street again, and things will be happening. But that seems like the simple solution to kind of keep everybody happy. You get to stay on Main Street in downtown Buffalo if you're the hostel. If you're the city, you get that parcel back to sell off or do whatever you wish with it.
To continue your plan of bringing back Main Street in downtown?
Why does it seem like we're having such trouble getting there?
Yeah, why does that be an argument? Right. I mean, it's just simple as finding a spot for the hostel on Main Street.
Well, that might be a little harder.
Right.
Easier said than done.
It's not like the Brady Bunch movie where you can take the building and move it.
Yeah, it might not be all that simple. But that seems like the solution that you'd want for everyone involved.
Can I just be honest? Until we ran the story, I had no idea what a hostel was.
No.
Yeah, no idea.
Never?
No, I used hostel, like, oh, it's a hostile environment. But I never
It's a completely different word.
Yes, I know. But I had no idea what a hostel was until we ran the story.
You never were curious, like walking past the hostel downtown?
I can't remember the last time I walked in that part, that end of Main Street, like where the subway comes up.
Never?
I mean, I'm sure I have, but...
Town ballroom's right there. Shays is right across the street.
I believe I've been with you to the town ballroom. But yeah, I never asked any of that question. I just didn't know. I had no idea.
You never even seen the movie Hostel?
No, definitely didn't see the movie Hostel.
Wow. Well, Joe, learn something new every day. There you are.
Something every day. I'm thinking of picking up a second language.
English.
I guarantee I'm not the only person who didn't know what a hostel was until this story.
Oh, I'm sure you're not the only, yeah. But like, I'd think that's a pretty common space. There's one in Buffalo, but I think it's pretty common, even if you've never been there, to know about what it was.
Didn't know what it was. Didn't know there was one here.
Would you ever stay in one?
Maybe. Like I said,
to me seem like the
perfect hostel.
Yes.
But I'm very comfortable just sleeping in a Walmart parking lot. Like, you know, I mean,
exactly why I think you'd be the perfect person.
The day before my buddy got married in Chicago. My other buddy had to work late. What did I do? I found a Walmart outside of Chicago, slept in that parking lot till my buddy was done working. It was fine. Went in, got some Twizzlers and a Monster. And I had my little space all set for the next morning.
Is that maybe like the problem the hostel has is that it's compared to somebody as their own car?
Well, I'm sure it's a lot
stay
nicer.
In your own car.
I'm sure it's a lot nicer. But for me, I just see nothing wrong with, you know, hey, this is free. I pay for this. You know, I have this car. Put the seat back. I mean, like I said, when I used to work in retail, my lunch breaks were taking a nap in the car.
I mean, the whole idea is you're sleeping in like bare bones.
Yes.
Probably a bunk bed.
Yeah.
And for a dirt cheap price that's going to be like a fraction of what a hotel or something like that would cost.
Sharing
you.
A bathroom.
Sharing a bathroom. You're sharing living quarters.
Yes.
That's the whole idea behind it. Does that appeal to you at all?
No.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Like that's the...
Again, I mean, if that's your thing, I have no place to talk. But sharing living quarters with strangers, you know, that was cool when I dormed. I'm good now.
Was it even then?
I guess I never even thought of it. It's like, oh, this is college. We're dorming.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like 35, I don't really... Well, I don't care to co-mingle with other people and like, hey.
It's definitely meant for a younger crowd.
Yeah, I've got the bathroom after you.
And like the, you know, it again, Europe, like you have the backpacking tourist, you're going through Europe, you're staying at this place for a night, then you're on to the next place. Maybe you're staying at another hostel, you're cutting down on the cost instead of spending like $200 a night on hotels, you're spending $20 on staying at these places. Makes perfect sense for someone young. I also don't envision like Buffalo as your typical place where a hostel would thrive.
No, I can't imagine a lot of people from here when they travel look for a hostel.
Like I need to be in Buffalo and I need a bed for $20.
Yeah, no. I'd like to know what they were doing during the eclipse. Did they have a...
I'm sure probably the eight people are there right now.
Yeah.
They're here to see the eclipse. There's eight of our million.
Yeah, all right.
So, we're keeping the count up.
No, I mean, hey, it's a great idea. And like I said, obviously there are people who like that idea. I think, you know, flight crews do something similar when they're not in their home city for an overnight. They have something similar near the airport. But it's not something that appeals to me.
Well, flight crews have like a designated hotel, right? Isn't that in most cities?
I thought crews had like something like a hostel where they had like a place where, okay, you're in Buffalo tonight. You can go here. You don't have to pay like you would have to for a hotel. I could be completely wrong. I know the pilots.
I thought the airlines had their designated hotel. Like you've never been to a hotel?
Yeah, I've always seen pilots in hotels. I'm not sure I've seen the flight crew in hotels.
You know what I'm saying? Like the whole crew. And then they just like get in a van and they're taken to the airport.
Yeah, maybe. I've seen pilots. I can't say that I've seen.
I've actually seen that in downtown Buffalo before, which I was like, why are you here?
Well, yeah.
Well, it's a little bit of a drive. Like there's hotels, right?
There's nice hotels.
I always thought that the hotels by the airport were just always filled with pilots, flight crews, everything like that. But then, no, they're living it up downtown.
Wow, that's surprising.
I would never have thought about it.
No.
Well, 803-0930 on the... You're not alone, Joe. There's a lot of people who are texting him, what's a hostel? What's a hostel?
See?
It's not the place. I think it is one of those things, if you're like searching through, all right, you're taking a trip to wherever, and you kind of thumb through. I think most people are... Well, one, most people don't want to share a bathroom or a room with somebody else.
Right.
Like, you want to just plop down...
With a stranger.
Put your stuff out there.
Yeah.
And... not have to worry about it.
I mean, I feel like if I'm at a hostel, my duffel bag is going to be my pillow because I don't know these people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And your duffel bag might even be like a little too big.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's not, if you have a bunch of luggage, you're never really going to get your use out of it or find a place for it. But I could see also you're flipping through, and what do most people do? Like, well, I'm not going to stay at the Ritz-Carlton.
Yeah, I'm only there for 5 hours.
But I'm also not going to stay at the very cheapest price that I see, because it's like that for a reason. Let's just pick something in the middle here that looks nice and is close.
Yeah, like you stay at a place that's so cheap, when you take a shower, you actually feel dirtier than before you got in the shower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you take a shower and you have to get on your knees to, get your head under it. Like the shower head is from...
From Elf?
Yeah. unbelievable. We'll go to Bob in Buffalo. You're on WBEM. Bob, good morning.
Hey, I know you guys asked about hostels. So about late 99 or early 2000, I went to California and I used hostels quite a bit. We traveled up and down the coast and inside Death Valley and around the mountains over on that side. I was about 30, 32, somewhere in that range. It's a good experience. It's inexpensive. They also have elder hostels, I will say, for people that are older, retired, and they cater a little different, but there still is shared services.
I've never heard of that. That's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Most of the people think it's for college grads and people moving around during the summer. They created some elder hostel culture. It's a little culture. We stayed at one of those. We stayed at a few of the younger ones. It's certainly interesting. It's not for everybody. You do meet people from all different places of the world, which is interesting. But you're staying four or five people in a room in a little cot, and you don't know these strangers, of them. So,
Bob, are you surprised that hostels are still able to thrive in, like, an era where I feel like there's less and less interest of people getting to know strangers? Do you know what I mean by that? Like,
yes.
The idea of, just hanging out and meeting new people, to me, for young people, that is less appealing than it's ever been in the history of humankind.
I agree with you. I think that's more cultural speak. The generation that I'm from, I would say that's a little different. We actually found that exciting. So, but it's not for everybody. I think it originally catered to the younger people, but somehow they made a niche for elders. And you can look into that. I don't think there's as many. I'm a little surprised Buffalo even has one, to be frank. But they are around most cities, and they're pretty cheap. So that's one of the main reasons. It's for cheap college travelers, ultimately.
Interesting. Well, Bob, thank you. Bob, he's stayed at a hostel. And, yeah, I think that just that concept, Brian, without knowing anything about it, I would say, yes, this is a concept for people in college or right out of college.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Exploring around.
Because in my early 20s, I could definitely see myself saying, what, $20? Let's go. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I don't need a bar. I don't need a free breakfast. I want to stay and get back on the road.
Yeah, you go somewhere. You're in there for a night. Maybe you're going for one event.
Yeah.
You're literally going to use a bed. You might not even be traveling with a backpack.
Right.
Would be a perfect place to crash.
Would be.
We'll see what happens Buffalo right now. I mean, right now, hostel-less. No one's allowed to go in the building. We'll see what the future is. We'll be following the story, and we'll have David Bellavia coming up next, right after us. He's here to take you through until Tom Bowerly later on in the afternoon. And of course, the news with Lucas is coming up next. We'll both be back here tomorrow, Joe.
That's right. Looking forward to it.
One last run in the arena this year for me. I might shed a tear.
I'm sure you will. But, root hard and enjoy the gifts.
Yeah, we'll do something like that. Beamez and Beamer on WBEN.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.